How many have decided to follow Jesus? You better mean that. If you have decided to follow Jesus, then your life has to change totally and completely. And Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessings. I just thank you, Father God, for your 100-fold return for everything the Palmer and Cankworm have stolen from your people. I thank you, Father God, that your holy angels are going to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, ministering to your people, and that every need is being met, Father. I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus. And Father God, I thank you that the whole Godhead is in total, complete, doing the total, complete works here tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. The body of Christ has to understand that it has to straighten up. We've been saying this and saying this, but you know, there's going to come a day and a time, it's going to be really soon, where if you don't straighten up, you're going to find yourself on the outside looking in. I read this article about that Kathy Walters wrote, and I want to go over tonight. The sleeping lion in you wakes up. Many people are believing to see a move of the glory of God. But before the glory, there will come a spirit of divine indignation and anger that will rise up in the people, God's people, for a purpose, to destroy the works of darkness. It's okay to have an indignation and anger with the enemy. Jesus did, didn't he? Jesus had so much compassion for honest sinners, but he was angry with the Pharisees because they were pretenders. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. He cannot enter into pretense because it's contrary to his nature. That is what's happening in the body of Christ right now. God is letting us have a holy anger with the darkness that prevails within inside the church, within inside our homes, even inside of our communities. God is saying it's time that we do something about this. And until you get fed up with something, you won't do anything about it. You'll just let it go and let it go and let it go. And then one day you say, all right, I've had enough. Then you put your foot down and you do something about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. When Jesus went to the temple, he found some money changers there taking advantage of the people. He took a whip to them. I think he probably yelled at them, don't you? I don't think he quietly went through there just taking a whip. I don't think he took the whip and said, shoo. It's amazing the number of people who get healed when they are either laughing or angry at the devil. I read the story that Elijah lists. You know, he was sick for a long time, and he got very angry when he took it to God, and he said he was fed up with it, and God healed him. And, you know, it's God tried to get you guys to laugh here the other night. Some did and some didn't. And God said they have to have this laughter because of the heavy burden that they're carrying. So what did she say? It's amazing the number of people who get healed when they are either laughing or angry at the devil. You know, the body of Christ, the majority of the body of Christ thinks laughing in the spirit is a bunch of junk. They don't understand what's really happening when you're laughing. You know, laughter does good like a medicine, right? These prophets and intercessors are going to wake up to the wiles of the enemy and see what is happening and begin to discern the ways of the devil in a way we have not seen very much before. Say this again. These prophets and intercessors are going to wake up to the wiles of the enemy and see what is happening and begin to discern the ways of the devil in a way we have not seen very much before. They will see the places where the enemy has infiltrated the holy encampment of the Lord in a new way and rise up and chase them away. I don't think you can be emotionally placid in a war. Holy laughter is also a warfare weapon. In Psalm 2:4 says, God looks on his enemies and laughs and has them in derision. Sometimes when the laughter comes on you, it's because your spirit is picking up on a victory that's happening in the spirit realm. You may not see anything at the time. You may not hear anything in the natural, but your spirit man knows there are victories taking place in the spiritual realm. And I know there's some of you in here, you've just been about your daily business, and all of a sudden you start laughing and laughing, and you can't figure what's going on with you. Well, you picked up a victory in the spirit realm. Now, when you don't have to turn back there, Nancy, but I had said, these prophets and intercessors are going to wake up to the wiles of the enemy and see what is happening and begin to discern the ways of the devil in a way we have not seen very much before. They will see the places where the enemy has infiltrated the holy encampment of the Lord in a new way and rise up and chase them away. And see, God told us that we are no longer doing deliverances, we are now doing exorcism because we are fighting bigger devils. And see, and as they do the deliverance team does the deliverances, they are seeing more and more demons that they've never seen before. And the demons are talking and God's showing and they're understanding how the enemy is truly working inside of people. See, God wants every one of you in here tonight to understand how the enemy works. He wants you to understand that, you know, sometimes we get upset with the person. And it isn't the person that you're dealing with. What you're dealing with is the demon that's in that person. And unless we have discernment about that, we're going to take it out on the person and not get rid of the demon that's in them. I was reading something from the guy over in Maryland. That he said it this afternoon, I was reading that, and he said that God is bringing healing into the church. He said heart problems are going to be healed. Cancers are going to be healed. He named a whole bunch of stuff that God is just going to... And you know, the whole lot of things are going to be healed. So we have to trust God and believe God and know that he's on the move and that he is doing the healing that he's promised us that he's going to do. He is bringing the healing back into the body of Christ. And what we have to do is, God keeps saying, lay your hands on them, pray for them. You know, believe and trust God. And I think Bill Yawn, he even said that he went to a service one night because he was the speaker. And God said to him, before you start the service, I'm going to heal somebody. Well, Bill didn't have any faith in himself, so he was thinking it was God, he said. I mean, it was him that was doing it. And he heard the people talking about how they were sick and everything. But yet when he got up there, he didn't have the nerve to say God wants to heal somebody in here. And so he went ahead with the service. But at the end of the service, this lady got up and said, she was sick. Anyhow, I feel like I'm going to drop dead any second. The pastor or somebody asked Bill to lay hands on her and pray for her. So Bill said, God, don't let her die while my hand's on her head. You know, he's getting to a point here. So he prayed for healing for the lady. Well, the lady turned around and walked away, you know, just as sick as she was, and he laid hands on her. And he went home very discouraged because he didn't listen to God. He said, if I would have been obedient and did it at the beginning of the service, she'd have probably been healed. But then the pastor of the church called him in the morning and said, the lady called and said she was perfectly healed. When she gets more, she's perfectly healed. So he was encouraging the people, really, in his article, to step out there in faith and start laying hands on people like God said. And whether you see the healing or not, it doesn't matter. Just keep laying hands on. Just keep laying hands on and keep having faith and keep trusting and believing. And we've been saying that here. Just go ahead and lay hands on him. You know, it's God that does the work. He said he finally realized it's God that does the work. And see, the reason why we said, well, I don't know if it's going to work or not, is because we think we're doing it. No, it's not going to work when you have that attitude because you're believing you're doing it and not God. So let's allow God to show us the way the enemy's working. Let's allow God to speak into our bosoms and show us and tell us things that we need to know about people. And then he'll also tell us how to pray for these people. All right, where was I at? As God's temple, is that where I'm at? As God's temple is emptied of things that have been wrongly tolerated, and we have tolerated a lot of things even in this house that should never have been tolerated. As God's temple is emptied of things that have been wrongly tolerated, so the Spirit of the living God will arise in you and the glory will be manifested. Have you ever thought about the fact that we can have arthritis in our mind? We can have religious mindsets and be not pliable and open to learn things God is wanting us to know. And this is why we get so upset when you stand before us, you have a religious spirit, but you refuse to admit you have a religious spirit. Because you're never going to learn anything. You're never going to move any further than what you are right now. You know, you have to get rid of that religious spirit. You know, when you're standing in front of somebody and all you're saying is, bless you, Jesus, bless you, Jesus, that's a religious spirit. And we say to you, please be quiet so you can receive. You can't receive while you're speaking out. But when you tell people that, they get all upset. Please don't get upset. God is saying religion has no place in this dispensation. It's spirit calling to spirit. And he's trying to get the whole body of Christ to walk in the Spirit and quit walking in our flesh. We can have religious mindsets and be not pliable and open to learn things God is wanting us to know. Strong mindsets can keep us closed to new revelation. Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine, the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. All right? How many years ago did God tell us that was our scripture? Did we believe it? I don't think so. God told us way back then, arise and shine. Get excited. The light has come, Jesus has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We already had the glory on us. We're still looking for the glory. The glory of God has already been given to the church through Christ, the risen Lord. But it gets covered by other spiritual atmospheres and entities. You know, this is what God told me. He said, daughter, the glory is already in the church. Go ahead and operate with the glory. He said, there's a greater glory I'm bringing. But he said, the glory's already here. And so this is what she's saying. The glory of God has already been given to the church through Christ, the risen Lord. But it gets covered by other spiritual atmospheres and entities. When the deliverer arises in delivering power and the shadows flee away, then the glory starts to become visible. And the deliverer is arising in you. The deliverer is arising in you. Even as the mist appeared in the Azusa Street meetings, the mist will manifest in our gatherings more and more. In the Azusa Street meetings, there would appear mist from the ground up to around 3 feet high, and the children would play hide and seek in the mist. Come on. A religious mindset cannot receive what I just said. But a spirit is talking to spirit, and spiritual people can receive that. We see the mist in here all the time. You know, sometimes when I'm ministering, I can't even see you people because of the mist. God is here, and, you know, and he's manifest himself, but we don't have enough faith to believe that he's here. She said, I recently wrote about Anthony, probably the greatest of the desert fathers. The desert fathers in the second and third century lived in the caves of Egypt and saw themselves as gatekeepers of the nations and had many supernatural encounters with the angels and also demonic forces. They had an extremely powerful level of discernment. This discernment is a powerful supernatural gift about to be released for the glory of God. See, God's told us he wants to give us discernment. And this is one of the gifts so that we can see, you know, God, we can see what's going on. And it said here, this discernment is a powerful supernatural gift about to be released for the glory of God. There has been a few messages on Facebook this last week talking about fasting from negative speaking. Negative words can open the door for negative things that you don't want in your life. About 100 years ago, it was quite normal for you. So if you don't want to fast your food, fast negative thinking. Amen. About 100 years ago, it was quite normal for people to fast from speaking. I think we all need to do that. I think sometimes that, or she says that, I think sometimes that could be a good idea. As the enemy is evicted and the glory revealed, so there will be a dramatic increase in healing and deliverance. As the enemy is evicted and the glory revealed, so there will be a dramatic increase in healing and deliverance. Miracles and healing by the hundreds, not the dozen, will sweep many souls into the kingdom. It's going to happen just like God said it was going to happen. I don't care how many years have gone by since he spoke it, but he said we would be so full of the glory, we'd walk into a hospital and empty out the hospitals. The glory hasn't come in that force, but when it does, that's when that's going to happen. But we're going to have to start having faith right now to believe that when we walk by somebody, they will be healed. Come on. There's something in the atmosphere right now. That's what I'm hearing God say. There's something in the atmosphere right now that if you can grasp hold of it, you will walk by people and they will be healed. And they will even be delivered from the demonic forces that have them bound. You're going to have to believe this and just receive this. As a cannonball is fired from the cannon, so I will, this is God speaking, as a cannonball is fired from the cannon, so I will release a dynamic power even into the population and to the church, even an explosion of miracles.
See,
God said church wasn't going to be the same, and it hasn't been. Why? Because he has to teach us of these things. And I have said for years, the Bible is not making it. I've preached a word and preached a word and preached a word, but people just sit here in their sin. They never change. I keep saying, God, you have to do something else, something supernatural, because your word is not cutting it. And then he even said himself one time, I read, he spoke to somebody, said, my word is not doing the work it's supposed to do. But I know that I know that I know, guys, that whenever this glory comes, his word is going to be so wide open that people are going to read that thing and they'll understand every word they're reading. And his word then will do a great and mighty works. But isn't it a shame that the body of Christ as a whole cannot read his word and just believe it and trust him? Why do we have to have some big supernatural thing occur? Are you listening here? America has become weak, W-E-A-K, in many ways, but in a week, W-E-E-K, God will awaken the saints of God and a roar will come. A while ago, I, Kathy, prayed for a lady in New Zealand who was quite timid and fearful because of abuse. She began to shout quietly at first. It sounds strange to say that someone can shout quietly, but I am sure you know what I mean. Then she shouted louder, and then she began to roar. First quietly and then loudly. She scared herself, so she ran into another room. Then she realized the roar went with her. Let the lion arise in you. Dispel the darkness. The glory will be revealed in you and through you. Let the lion arise in you. Dispel the darkness. The glory will be revealed in you and through you. Holiness and purity for the church. That was her article, okay, about the lion. Now, I read another article that we really need to grasp hold of tonight. I keep saying, God, why are you not moving in the Lighthouse Church the way I've been asking you to and the way you said you're going to? And he keeps telling me there's not enough holiness in the house of God. The holiness has not yet penetrated the house. And, you know, I don't know how long ago we put this sign up. I don't know how long we did that. Am I having a problem? Oh, okay. But it has not done a thing to the people. I see people sitting in this building lusting after one another. I see people in here that I know that they're into pornography. And they stare at that sign constantly. They hear the word about being holy, but they never change. There's no fear of God. I'm telling you right now, what I see going on in the house of God would scare me so bad. I wouldn't want to come into the house of God because God said he's going to start striking people dead. And I don't want to die yet. Amen. Come on. So this is what this young man had to say. Holiness and purity for the church. Will this issue ever get to the point where it breaks our hearts instead of hardening them? The Father spoke to me and said, his name was Jeremiah, and this, I got this out of Charisma. The Father spoke to me and said, Jeremiah, the primary area that is upon my heart in this hour is the issue of abortion. I have given you a dream that must reach the four corners of the United States. The church must unify on this issue. I am giving them 4 years to do it. If they will, a great birthing will take place in 2016. The church has set back and done absolutely nothing, and then they wonder why the world is in the condition it's in. The church, you know, whenever we was voting in a new president, I can guarantee you that people were not praying about who they should vote to be president, because God spoke to me about that. That's why I knew who was going to become president, and that's why I knew what was going to happen. You know, guys, come on. The church has got to start praying. We have to start interceding. We have to seek God's face about everything. Everything. I don't care if it's what kind of soap you're going to buy. We need to really, and I'm serious about this, we need to really and truly seek God's face. He then took me to the same factory that I had been to before regarding abortion. In the dream, the second area that was on the Father's heart that the church must change her position on is sexual immorality. We have to change our position about sexual immorality. What I read right now that pastors are saying, what's going on in the leadership and how, in churches, totally blows my mind. He began to show me massive gatherings of homosexuals all over the United States. And don't get excited. Let me get this through here. They formed what were known as colonies where every elected official in the city was gay. He showed me their plots to gain control of the government through their agenda so that they could affect every area of society. The church came out to protest. We're always getting ready to protest, right? The church came out to protest a gathering of homosexuals and their agendas, but then something ominous happened. God the Father began to rebuke the church, saying, has your laziness and blindness on the issue of sexual immorality within the church not given the homosexual agenda its true power? God said, has your laziness and blindness on the issue of sexual immorality within the church not given the homosexual agenda its power? The issue is not the homosexual agenda. The issue that I have with you is the power that you have given it by failing to preach holiness and purity to masses. Come on. I have not called you to persecute homosexuals. I've called you to repent to me for your wickedness and sin. I will take care of them. You must take care of yourself. Your doctrines is inaccurate. Your motives are impure. Before you pluck the speck out of their eyes, you have plenty in your own. How many times have we said that the blind lead the blind and they both fall in the ditch? You've got to get the sin out of your life before you can minister to anybody else. You know, if you're running around here watching pornography, then you're going to go tell somebody else, hey, you know, you shouldn't take drugs. But, you know, who are you to tell me what to do? You know, I just can't deal with that. I can't deal with knowing that somebody is in deep sin and they're going around acting all pious, telling somebody else how they should live. Why aren't you getting your own life straightened out first? The Bible talks all the way through about living holy. He did not tell you to go to a church and sit there and be steeped in your sin. He said, change. Change. Become holy as he is holy. Quit allowing sin to rule in your life. You know, it totally amazes me how people can come in the house of God and sit here and listen and say, amen, brother, amen. And I know these people and I know they're about as sinful as they can possibly be. What are they amening? You know, church, you have to, you guys that came here tonight, you have to get yourself right because God cannot use you unless you're living a holy life. You know, I didn't know anything about pornography. I didn't know anything about perversion. I didn't know anything about drugs. I didn't know all that stuff. I was really innocent, but yet I was still preaching. And then God put me right smack dab in the middle of all of it. And I thought, oh, dear Lord. I was even blushing when I read of some of the things that people do. I couldn't believe what they were doing. And I said, God, I really can't deal with all this mess. This is ridiculous. But I dealt with it. I grew up in it. You know what I mean? As I grew up, I now can understand it. And I could have compassion for those who are caught in these sins. And before I didn't, my words were, get over it. But I found out you don't get over it by ministering to people that just don't get over it because they have demons inside of them causing them to do the things that they're doing. And so, you know, we've always had deliverance here for 30 years, ever since we started. But then we started doing deliverance, and I said, dear Lord, what are we dealing with here? And God said, bigger devils. And he said, they're going to get bigger. And as we see the darkness cover the earth, sin is running rampant in the house of God, in the streets, everywhere you go. And who is praying for this and you know, against the sin? And who is talking to the people with the love of Christ and telling them they have to get it together? That you just can't live like that and go to heaven. A lot of people believe that they can do whatever they want to do because of grace and go to heaven. That's not true. You don't find that in the Bible. People have taken this grace message and they've twisted it. I thank God for his grace. My statement is always, but there for the grace of God go I. I could be just about the biggest sinner there was if it wouldn't be for the grace of God. So I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not putting you down. It's the church's job to free these people of the demonic influences that are running their lives. The couple big deliverance ministers are out there saying we don't have enough people who will do this. The demand is so great they cannot do all the deliverances that need to be done. They're raising up deliverance teams. And this is one reason why we're having the school in deliverance. We're trying to inform people what's going on and how they can help and how they can be a deliverance minister. Saints, God is not looking down very lightly on the sin in the house of God. Remember I told you when I was first born again, I said, I was all excited. God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And his words to me were, he said, daughter, so is my church. Totally blew my mind. But as I sat in the house of God, and I really watched what people were doing, I said, this is ridiculous. I didn't see this much sin in my workplace as what was in the house of God. And each one of you, if you want to be honest with yourself, you can say you have seen so much sin in the house of God. Pastors especially are sin-laden, and they're leading the sheep. Where are they leading them to? With all these things that are coming out in the open of, you know, men molesting children, you know, pastors molesting children, you know, it really makes you sick to think that you came into church, you put your children in the hands of what you thought was a godly person, and they were being molested. You know, where is safety? Where is safety? It's not even in the house of God anymore. You know, when I first got born again, I always went to church, but when I got born again in 77, you know, I was so excited in the house of God, and I had more men put to make on me than I ever had in my whole entire life. Even in my workplace, nobody ever put to make on me, but in the house of God, one man after the other, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, I've come here to serve God. I've come here to listen to the Word. I came here to get free. You know, just release myself in praise and worship. And what do you get? The deacons in the house of God trying to shove you off the seat. It's trying to sit next to you to squeeze people away from you. Deacons come into my home in the pretense of wanting just to minister to me. And they were there all along just to put the make on me. That is not godly. That is not godly. And if you know anybody like that, get away from them. Don't stay anywhere near them, because God is telling us to be holy as He is holy. He's telling us to get it together and live holy lives. And whenever we meet people in the street, we aren't like them. We don't tell dirty stories. We don't even listen to dirty stories. And we don't joke around and stuff like that, because we have holy ears. Our mouths are holy. And we should be living holy lives. I know my sister who's passed away, but she say she had a pastor, a Methodist pastor, doesn't matter, but her pastor was Methodist, and he would go to the bar with them and get drunk after church on Sunday. And when I would go down, she lived in Florida, when I would go down to visit her, and well, the last time I went to get, I was going to, she was getting married, and she said, come on, Barbie, let's go, we'd go down to the bar. I said, I don't want to go to the bar, it's where she frequented. She said, oh, my pastor does, he sits down and gets drunk, what's wrong with you, why can't you sit down and get drunk? I said, don't even drink to begin with, and why would I want to go into a bar and have somebody see me sitting in there? You know, I couldn't prove I wasn't drinking, right? And then she told her, all of her friends, oh, she's a prude. Don't tell any dirty stories around her, because she doesn't, her ears won't, can't tolerate that. You know, we loved each other dearly, but see how they are? She knew what kind of life I lived it all my life, but yet that spirit in her was trying to get me to turn the way the world was. I didn't go there. I don't intend to go there. And don't you either. This is not where God wants us to be. Okay, then he's talking about this prophetic word. Then the church began to weep and wail. The sound was ear-piercing. The church began to recognize their deception and how immorality had overrun the church and been accepted rather than dealt with. And you know, we've dealt with immorality in this church, and that our name got smeared all over town. You know. We worked with them, and they wouldn't quit, so we just told them, you've got to leave. We can't, you know, I can't have a wolf in here destroying the sheep. But people, they really get upset when you tell them they have to leave the house of God. As repentance took place, the Father spoke again. My answer to the homosexual agenda in the earth is a movement of purity. In other words, when this Jeremiah was prophesying what God had to say, the church really wept and they wailed, and they repented of their sin, And then he says, as repentance took place, the Father spoke again. My answer to the homosexual agenda in the earth is a movement of purity. In other words, we have to become pure. If the church will become pure and holy, you'll see people out there in the world drop their life's sinful lifestyle. And they'll understand that holiness must prevail. Are you understanding here? I mean, we love everybody. We really do. I know a lot of people that have gone to different lifestyles, but it doesn't take my love away from them, but yet I can't tell them they're going to go to heaven either. I have some relatives that I try to talk to about that because I love them very much, and they said that you just don't understand the Bible, and I said, all right, I just shut up because, you know, they have to understand themselves. You don't push yourself on them. And they were my hairdresser when I go to Pennsylvania, and they said, are you still going to come get your hair done? I said, yeah, I still love you. You know, it's your lifestyle, not mine, right? I will gather hundreds, this is God speaking, I will gather hundreds of thousands of pure ones that will unite in an effort to confront the issues of their day. It will be internally focused, not externally focused. We're going to start focusing on what's going on inside the house of God. And once we focus on what's going on inside the house of God and get the sin out of the church, then the glory will be able to come into the church in all of its fullness. And we're going to see the great signs, wonders, and miracles prevail. I tell everybody, if you're going to go out to minister, make sure you're holy. Make sure your hands are clean. And make sure you're walking in the Spirit. Because you're not going to be able to do anything when you go out there. But how many of you know that the enemy can go with you too? And the enemy can give false signs, wonders, and miracles. We have to understand that the enemy is very deceptive. We have to understand that the enemy will come in like an angel of light. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And he will try to get you to do something you shouldn't do. That's why you need to hear God's voice so clearly. He's been telling us that everybody needs to hear his voice for himself or herself. You can't run to a prophet and say, can you hear from God for me today? No, you're supposed to be able to hear for yourself. You should be able to hear for your kids. I'm hearing God say every transaction that happens in your life, you should hear his voice before it ever happens. So that you are not led astray or fall into the ditch that the enemy has dug for you. Amen. All right, he said, I will gather hundreds of thousands of pure ones that will unite in an effort to confront the issues of their day. It will be internally focused, not externally focused. They will keep their hand to the plow, concentrating on immorality within their ranks. And then I will begin to deal with the homosexual agenda on my own terms. There will be new diseases amongst the sexually immoral that will be like a plague. They will reap what they have sown. Science will begin to identify the diseases that will overrun an immoral people in the earth in the years to come. In other words, God is saying, quit your pointing your finger. Get the speck out of your own eye before you start doing anything with anybody else. God said that we are not to be judging people all the time. God said we're supposed to be loving them, showing compassion for them, and allow God to do the works within their life that has to be done. What's so sad about the church is the church thinks they're God. You know, the church thinks that they're the ones that's supposed to be going and telling somebody what they should or should not be doing. What we're supposed, God told me, he said, daughter, your job is to give the word. That's all your job is. It's their job to do what they should do with the word. He said, you're trying to get everybody saved, and that's not possible. He said, you're wearing yourself out. Just give them the word. So all you have to do in love and in compassion and full of grace, tell people what the word has to say. It's up to them what they do with it. How many of you, don't show of hands, but how many of you have loved ones that once served God, but now they're backslid? They already know what God's all about. They know that they're steeped in sin. They don't need you rubbing their nose in that dirt day in and day out. They don't need you rubbing their nose in it at all. God's told me with mine who have backslid, and they backslid as far as they can go back, I think. He said, love them. Love them unconditionally. and I'll change them. But your job is to love them. Your job is to show grace and to show mercy at every turn. And right now, the enemy has come in like a flood, and he's trying to make me not love them. He's really making things very difficult, making me look at the circumstances and not keep my eyes on God. And see, and then that's where my fight starts. Then I have to make sure I keep my eyes on God. Don't look at what's going on around about me. And just remember the promises that God has given me about my loved ones. And just keep telling the devil, you've lost. They're going to be serving God again. You can't take them out because God said you couldn't. And see, but you have to show them love. Unconditional love. And some will really try your patience really hard. I mean, they'll really go the extra mile at showing you how unlovable they can be. But, you know, God said love the unlovable. And what's he been telling us that 3-4 years now? He knew this dark time was coming. He knew this dark age was coming upon the church, and he wanted the church to get ready so we could minister to the lost souls he's going to send into the house of God. I was in a church one time where somebody came in, and they were dirty, and they were drunk. And one of the ushers went up to him and said, "Sir, you have to leave the church. You're not allowed in here." Now, what kind of a witness is that? You know, I thought, how could they do this to that man? Then I didn't have a struggle with love. You know, I could love anybody. But as the years went by and the darkness kept getting darker, the enemy really worked on my love walk. How many of you can say the enemy's worked on your love walk? That you was one you thought you could love anybody, anything, nothing could ever change. But all of a sudden, things start changing. The atmosphere is getting darker and darker. But we're going to have to hold on to our love, saints, God, because you have to have a foundation of love in order to work for God. You yourself have to be stable in that area. You can't be wavering to and fro. You have to be stable in your love walk because that's your foundation. And if that foundation can't be shaken, Satan can't shake you. He can throw all kind of fiery darts at you. I'm not saying you're not going to be attacked, but he won't be able to shake you off your foundation. Stop and think, when you're judging somebody else and not loving them, stop and think of how many times you've been unlovable. And God has loved you. He never left you nor forsook you. And he always had somebody praying for you. So why are we judging somebody else so harshly? Ask yourselves these questions tonight. Am I holy? Am I walking in purity of heart? Is my mind clear? Clean, I meant to say. Is my mind clean? Or is it filthy with thoughts that shouldn't be in there? You know, God has told me many times when I'm ministering to people, he says to me, they've sold their eyes to Satan. And that they can't get freed from that. Don't ever sell your eyes to Satan. You do that by watching, you know, pornography and all that kind of junk. It's even what you watch on TV, you sell your eyes to Satan. When he gets a hold of your eyes, because I've talked to a few people about that, it's a horrible thing because even when they don't want to look, they look. Because Satan owns their eyes and Satan controls their eyes. The body of Christ, you guys that came here tonight, you have to start reevaluating your own self. How pure and how holy are you really? Come on. All right. Let's just put one thing this way. You know, there's so much sexual perversion that people think they get married and still do sexual perversion to one another. That makes it right. That does not make it right. God told me one time, he said, your bedroom is a sanctuary. He said, no, I didn't call you to do filth in the bedroom. So you say, well, a pastor told me, well, nobody has a right to come into my bedroom. Nobody has a right to tell me what to do in my bedroom. God does. I'm not going to come into your bedroom, and I'm not going to tell you what you do in your bedroom. I'm just going to tell you what God told me. I don't care if your husband or your wife wants to do that filth. You don't go along with it because you're a child of God and you're pure and you're holy, right? Come on. Well, they'll leave me. Well, let them go. It's better they leave you than you die and go to hell. Come on. I had somebody say to me one time, well, if you can't take care of your husband, I can. I said, have at it. You know, you know, come on. I'm not gonna go down into the dirt. You know, and that's what they, you know, that's what they were saying. You won't go into dirt. No, I won't go into the dirt with them. So, where are you at? I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's there. It's out there now. So where are you at? You know, I want you to really truly stop and think about this, because do you really want to be a glory carrier? God, you can't carry the glory if you're dirty. You can't. If you're defiled, you cannot carry the glory. You have to be holy. Do you ever stop? I don't know why God has me going this way. Do you ever stop to think about, what was it, Viagra? You know, God made things natural to happen to your body, and then man, you know, warped-minded men make up things to take so you can do something that God doesn't want you to do no more. Come, stop and think about that. My mind goes all, you just don't want to be in my mind. It goes, you know, I think about, don't you think about all this stuff though? You know, don't you think about it in God's light? You know, how God would think about it? If God wanted that to happen, then he wouldn't make you old. You know? Come on. And God's saying, if the truth was known, 3/4 of the body of Christ do things in their bedrooms that they should not do. Throw out your TV set. Don't have it in your bedroom. You know, if that's what you watch, I've heard a lot of people say that's what they watch, and that's what they do. If that's the case, then throw it out. You know, if something's coming in there to make you unholy, get rid of it. I'm hearing God say, you really need to look at the entire picture of what his word is telling you to do. Instead of just looking at a quarter of it, half of it, 3/4 of it, look at the whole entire picture and see how God wants us to react. If you look at what the day of Pentecost, the people changed when the Holy Spirit occurred. They did not stay the same as they were. They changed. The problem with the body of Christ is you come in and somebody says, okay, now repeat this after me. All right, you're born again. You're fine. You're going to go to heaven. There's no change. Some of you guys in here are just about as old as I am. You know that when people went to the altar, when those days, they stayed with you till they prayed you through. They'd be there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, just beating and a crying and a screaming and carrying on till you really got saved. We take you to the back room. We don't, but they take you to the back room, hand you a booklet, and say, there, you're on your way to heaven. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just on your way to another day. But in that another day, you're supposed to be getting right. You're supposed to be changing. And God has done a lot of changing and rearranging in our lives right now. And saints, I'm going to tell you right now, God told me that glory was going to hit in the summertime. And he said, once the glory hit, if you're not changed, you can't get in. So I'd work really super hard. In other words, you're lost. You're undone. You know, I'd work really super hard to get my life together right now. I don't know when. It could be on I think it's the 21st of June, the summer begins. It could be on that day. It could be a week later. It could be at the end. I don't know. He just said in the summertime. So if you think, well, I'll just wait till the last minute and do it. You know, you might not have a last minute. A car might run you over. The body of Christ has to get holy now. You should have been holy 15 years ago. That's what stopped the anointing in this church. Unholy people came in here. Did their unholy acts. And because I wasn't smart enough to know that I had to chase them out, I was still full of so much compassion. I just let them sit here. They'll change. If they see the love of God, they'll change. Well, they didn't change, but they brought their corruption with them. Then we started to say, okay, now we got to get rid of the wolves. Are you listening here? God is not going to allow sin to penetrate or filtrate his church any longer. You have to be changed. So if God's dealing with your heart for you every community tonight, well, this is confirmation he wants you to change. It's confirmation that he is a holy God, a loving God, and a true God, and a just God. He didn't throw you out to the wolves yet. He's giving you another chance. He's talking to you again about being holy. You know, if truth be known, men, women don't like an unholy man. They want to look up to you like they would look up to Jesus. They want to know that they can trust you 100%, no matter where you're at or what, they can trust you. And see, then they can be at peace wherever they're at. They can raise their children. You know why children are so messed up? It's because wives are not, they can't trust their husbands, so they're upset all the time at what their husbands are doing, so they take it out on their children. A lot of you can say amen to that. Or maybe vice versa. Might be a man raising kids and his wife's running, you know. However it is, see, then the whole family gets messed up. Then you start blaming somebody else. Look inside of yourself. What kind of a person are you really? Really, what kind of person are you? Let's start tonight letting God change us to be holy, pure, and just. Please don't go down to their level, men and women, whoever you are. God says don't go to their, he always told me, daughter, don't go down to their level. Pull them up to your level. Whatever you do, don't allow your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend to pull you down to their level if it's dirt. You say, no, you'll come up to my level or we're done. I'm not going to go down and lose my soul and go to hell. I don't care what you say. My walk with God is more important than playing in the dirt. Amen. The reason why there's so many problems in a marriage is because, I'm just telling what I'm hearing God say, all right? Either one or the other or both are messed up into perversion. And I can't move in their lives. So, somebody's going to have to change. Somebody's going to have to be the one to keep saying no, no. Gabriel says, all you ever do is say no. I said, well, everything you want to do is no. You know, if you're going to go to heaven, you can't do this. No, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. What is so wrong about saying no? I'm not going to say maybe. God says don't compromise. If you say, well, maybe just this one time, no, and then it's another time and another time and another. Never compromise your walk with God. I don't care if it's with your kids, with your friends. Never compromise your walk with God. No is no. God's no is no, is it not? You know, God told me one time, he said, daughter, if my people would just do what my word tells them to do, the road would not be narrow. It would be so wide because I could trust them and they could just walk a wide road and have a good time. But because they won't do what I tell them to do, the road is narrow. Come on. And I'm hearing God say talking time is over. It has to be decision time. And it'd be a final decision time, not, I'm going to change, Lord, then tomorrow you do the same thing you did the night before. No, it has to be decision time. Every pastor in this area told me if you wouldn't talk holiness, if you wouldn't preach the way you preach, you'd have the biggest church around here because everybody loves you. But they cannot stand how you preach because you're always preaching. They said condemnation. No, I'm not. I'm preaching the word of God. Now, I don't care how big or how little the church is. I want to make sure your soul goes to heaven. And I want to make sure when I stand before God, he doesn't show me all your faces and say, why didn't you tell them the truth and say, depart from you, worker of iniquity. I don't know you. I'm sorry, but you're not worth me going to hell over. I'm not going to compromise my preaching because you don't like what I have to say. Well, here's the solution. You get yourself together and you start your own church. And then you preach. Right? But whatever you do, if you're going to do that, then preach the truth of the word. Preach the true gospel. Oh, come on. We can do that. Can't we do this thing? Can't we become holy? And can't we be a light in a dark, dark world? Now, wouldn't that be something? Pastor Barbara stands up tonight and preaches all this, and then somebody said, oh, I saw her go in the motel room with some guy tonight. Now, you know, what kind of light am I there? Come on. Or you might see me going into a bar. You know, everybody tells me over at the Dover Downs, the food is so good over there. And I've had so many pastors say, you got to, I am not going to Dover Downs, no way. Because to begin with, it's the devil's territory, and then with anybody sees the other, says, "Oh, I thought you talked about holiness." You know. So anyhow, the food drew me into compromising my walk with God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I go by and I say to my husband, "I wonder if that food's really as good as they say it is." But I'm not going in there and trying it. Are you understanding this? You might have that thought, but you don't yield to that thought. You probably, some of you sitting there think, "She is crazy, won't even go eat at Dover Downs." Well, I didn't tell you you couldn't. That's just my conviction. I can't do that. Amen. At one time, my husband was being prophesied over. I was thinking we was in Virginia somewhere at a gathering, you know, a meeting of some sort. And afterwards, they were prophesying over the people. They took you to different rooms, and he came out. He was hot. I said, "What's wrong? Didn't you get a good word?" "No." I said, "What was wrong with your word?" "God told me I couldn't do the things I wanted to do because of the calling on my life." He said, "I can't do things other people do. And I don't think that's right," he said. He wasn't completely saved then, by the way. You know, he didn't think that was right that God said you can't do what other people do. Hey, are you a true light? Are you really a true child of God? Are you really just like Jesus? And you cannot be like other people. That's just the bottom line, guys. It's a top line, the middle line, too. It's the whole picture. You can no longer be like other people. You can no longer do what other people do. Come on. Somebody wanted us to sell hot dogs in the lobby one time. I said, "Oh, no, we can't do that." They said, "What? What's wrong with selling hot dogs in the lobby?" I said, "God told me never do anything like that. I can't have bake sales. Can't do nothing like that." That he would take their... They left the church. They thought I was nuts because I wouldn't sell hot dogs in the lobby. You know... You go sell hot dogs in your lobby if you want. God told me not to do that. You know, he said, "I will keep the church. You don't have to stoop to those kind of things." What is wrong with me not wanting to sell hot dogs in the lobby? Just think it to yourself. Why would you leave a church just because of that? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with your thinking? Well, the reply was, "We do it all the time in the church I came from." I said, "That's fine. That's just something I'm not going to do because God said not to." So you see, this is what I'm saying. So I could say, "Oh, well, go ahead and have a hot dog sell then if you want." No, that was going against God's word that he told me not to do. How many of you do that? God tells you not to do something and everybody's saying to you, "Oh, well, you know, and all right, go ahead this one time." No, that was compromise. Don't do that, guys. Just please don't do that. Live holy. Live pure. Hear the voice of the Father for yourself. Do what he's telling you to do, and you'll be happy. You know, I had to take little Gabriel to be interrogated, I called it, the other day, because somebody said it from another state, said he did something he didn't do, and he was furious when he found out what it meant, what they said. And, you know, and I was really upset about that, and I went before the Father about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, before I had to take him Tuesday morning, and God said, "Don't worry about it, daughter. I've got it all taken care of. Everything's going to be fine. Don't sweat it. Go to bed and go to sleep." I did. Got up next morning, told Gabriel, "Honey, God's got it all under control." He said, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "It's going to work out just fine on our behalf." He said, "All right." Poor little guy was so upset though, he had diarrhea all morning while he was there. But see, afterwards he said, "You know, God was right. That wasn't bad after all." And I said, "Well, honey, God's always right." But see, you know, I sought God's face about it. Do you do, you know, everything. We have to seek God's face about it, because if we don't, we're going to be in a mess. Are you listening here tonight? Please do yourself a favor. If you're in sin, please get out of it right away. God said he would give you the grace. He said he would be there with you to help you through whatever you're struggling through. Cry out to God and say, "God, I can't do this thing on my own. I really can't. I need your help to bring me through this thing." And then give him an open hand to help you through that thing. There isn't one of us in this room has not had something happen in our lives where we say, "God, I can't do this on my own. If you don't come in and help me, Lord, I'm not going to make it through this." So there's nothing wrong in saying that. Absolutely, you know, pride will keep you from saying that. But now we all know we aren't full of pride, are we? No, we're not. Pride has no place in your walk with God. So if you're prideful, you need to get delivered. Pride will make you fall. Get that spirit out of you right now. Don't even try to do ministry if you have pride in you, because I'm telling you right now, the devil will use that against you. One time when I was up here ministering, whenever we was having revival all the time, you know, miracles were just flowing everywhere, every service we was here about every night of the week. great, God did great and wonderful things that night, and I was walking across here, and the devil said, look what you just did. I stopped instantly, and I said, we're going to pray. And I said, devil, you're a liar, that God did everything that was done here. Now, see, if I was a prideful person, that would have taken hold on me. And I would have been destroyed, but I'm not prideful. And I know I can't do anything without my Father. If you think you can do anything without your Father, then you also have a problem. Get your thinking straightened out. You can't do anything without your Father. Unless a demon is controlling you and telling you what to do. Then you can do it, but you won't go to heaven. Amen. Truth, God saying, if truth be known, some of you in here, you do think you can do everything yourself. And that's been your downfall. And you have to get a new mindset in that area because you can't do anything on your own. You need the Father. Now, how many of you in here, and don't show up hands, how many of you in here would really love to walk into some place, let's just say in the hospital room, in the emergency room, and you sit down and everybody in there got healed instantly? Wouldn't all you like that? Then all you have to do is get your sin out of your life and let the glory of God fall upon you and then just go for it. Amen. I believe that every place I go, somebody is touched. Are you listening? You have to believe that too. If you're living a holy life, if you're doing the will of the Father, then you have to believe that every place you go, somebody's life is touched. In some way, shape, somebody's life is touched. I'll just give the story, then I'll quit. This young lady was on drugs. She was wanted by the law. If she got caught, she was running from the law. If she got caught, she was going to spend quite a few years in jail. That night, my granddaughter called me and wanted me to look up on the computer, see if she's still wanted. And I said, yes, she is in two states, Delaware and Maryland. And while we were doing that, while I was looking that up, the probation officer was at her house looking for her. So she sat and thought about it, and she said, I'm going to give myself in, turn myself in. So she went and turned herself in, and she asked my granddaughter, will your grandmother talk to me if I call her? And she said, sure. Well, she must have called. I didn't get her phone call, let's put it that way. But 3 days after that, she got arrested. And 3 days after that, I was doing something else, and God said, pray for her. I want you to pray for her right now. Lift her up before me. I don't even know the girl except by her name. And so I did. The next day she went before the board, or before the judge or whatever it was. They wiped her whole record clean. Sent her home, no probation, no nothing, no jail time, no, she's clean. And they called to tell me that, and I said, that's when I prayed for you, right before you went up to the court. God had me pray for you. You see how my life touched this lady's life? Just because I walk holy, because I love the Lord with all my heart, God had me intercede for her. And I know I'll know her because she wants to come and talk to me. But God set her totally, completely free. And she's 8 months pregnant, by the way. Has a year-old boy, 8 months pregnant. Her boyfriend, her husband, whatever he is in jail. And she didn't know what she was going to do. And she's on drugs, so you know that's withdrawal in the jail. And God wiped her slate clean. That's where God wants everybody in this room to be. He wants you to be in a place where God, he can talk to you and say, pray. And he's only going to use you who are holy and pure to do that. Because whenever you pray, your prayers are holy. They aren't jaded with anything. They're holy. And they reach the throne of grace. Are you ready for that? This is a due season, God is saying, when these things are going to be occurring. Now, let me ask you this one thing right now. Do you want God to take somebody in the world, give your mantle to somebody out in the world? Because that's what he says he's going to do. If you won't yield, he'll take your mantle that he had for you, and he'll give it to a worldly person he's going to bring into the house of God. He'll clean them up, and he'll use them to do the mighty works you should be doing. I don't want anybody to do what I'm doing. I love what I do. I really do. And I don't want somebody else to have my mantle. God, you have many mantles. You give them their own mantle, but please don't take mine from me. I would feel really, I'd think I'd die if I had to sit in a seat and just watch people do what I knew God wanted me to do. But because I was disobedient or unholy, somebody else had to take my mantle. How about you guys? Do you know there's many people losing their mantles? I'm just hearing this. There's many people losing their mantles just as I'm speaking here tonight. And God's looking for those that are holy to give those mantles too. Are you one of those he can give a mantle to? If you're one of those who you want God to give that one of those mantles to, he wants you to come up here. He wants you to come up here right now because he's going to give you a special touch tonight to carry that mantle. And what he's telling me to tell you is when that mantle hits you, you're going to blossom instantly. Overnight, your life is going to be totally and completely changed.